It is hour number three, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It's Dukes and Bell with special guest Randy McMichael hanging out with us. Everybody's favorite Georgia tight end. Brock who?
Yeah.
By the way, his record, holy shnikes, what he's about to do in the NFL.
He did it so damn good, man. I mean, just unbelievable how he just hit the ground running with three of the worst quarterbacks in the history.
I know.
on one
you
team.
You know, it's pretty real quick, guys, for Falcon fans. You might not know this, but Roddy White, the first year he went over 1,000 yards, it was Byron Leftwich, Chris Redman, and Joey Harrington, which is akin to what Brock Bowers is doing.
Yeah, man. I mean, I thought the biggest thing for Brock, though, is this. You know, they wanted – they really – they wanted Penix.
Right.
And then when the Falcons grabbed, they like, oh, but now.
We know that we had a Raider.
Say panic. Yeah. You still got Brock.
We had a Raider writer on. Now, I don't know. This guy ranted and raved about how the injury history with Penix, that's why the Raiders were out on him. So I don't know. I always thought the Raiders were the perfect fit for Penix. I always, you know, felt that way. But they went with Bowers, and eventually they will get him a quarterback. Imagine when they get him a really good quarterback.
Who, he said he was a what now?
What's that? He's just the injury. The injury.
No. The guy was a writer.
A Raider writer.
Okay. There we go.
A Raider writer.
They leak stuff like that. Just like.
Orin, what was that guy's name? He had a good radio name.
Just like Kirk Cousins' agent.
Hondo.
Hondo. Yeah, we had Hondo in from Sin City. The Raiders were never going for Penix.
Whatever.
Those injuries had two knees and two shoulders.
Yeah, whatever.
No interest.
Whatever.
That's what I said. I was like, I don't know about
whatever.
That.
Whatever.
You know. Hey, by the way, we'll get into Michael Penix and talk about how the Falcons are preparing for Jaden Daniels in a must-win game. And, you know, a lot of injuries for the Bucs, too. That's all coming up. Right now, though, it's time to talk some dogs. Vandy's coach got the coach of the year. In the SEC.
Yeah, I'm not like.
You don't hate it?
No, I don't. I thought Shane Bieber, the way South Carolina closed out the season and everything like that. But, I mean, Vandy had a nice year, man, beating Alabama. Obviously, you know.
Chris Lee, by the way, Chris Lee. Okay. He's the Vandy coach, got the SEC coach of the year.
But, obviously, you know, it looked different this year.
Right.
It did. You know, they took Texas, gave Texas all they wanted and everything like that. So, yeah, it looked different. But I probably would have went with Shane or Kirby.
If you think about what Kirby's had to deal with, all the injuries, and you think about, you know, the wide receiver position has been a black hole, and some of it's because guys don't make catches. Some guys got suspended, kicked off the team. Defense went through a bunch of injuries. I think part of the reason the big win against Texas was so big in Austin is Mykel Williams was finally healthy.
Yeah, right? Man. I mean,
so they've been dealing with a lot of stuff for Georgia this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at
– but it's just sort of like he's been there, done that, so they're not going to consider him
the
coach of the year.
But you look at this as far as just a pure – because I think Kirby is the best coach in America.
Right.
But you want to talk about just tactics and forcing and pulling and pushing your team to just maximize all the potential they have. This is his best job. This is his best job. I know they went 15-0. This is his best job coaching this team by far.
I always thought that Bobby Cox's best job was the 99 year. The Braves had Javi Lopez go down, had some other injuries, and they got swept in a World Series, but just getting there was, you could argue, was one of those. Reason we talk about the dogs here in the Dog Report, big story now is coming out. Everyone's getting behind the scenes on Gunnar Stockton, getting to know Gunnar Stockton because Carson Beck, as you guys heard earlier in the week, we all knew it. Then it became official that he's not going to be playing for the Dogs. Story that came out in the Athens Banner-Herald, and Dog Nation's got a story on it, is that he's just a dude, man. I mean, that other quarterback, I don't know about that Carson Beck. Got the fancy girlfriend, a Lamborghini. What's a Georgia Bulldog need a Lamborghini for, Randy?
I think, you know, the expectations, I just don't know if Carson was ready for the expectations. I guess there was a lot of stuff on him. And, I stay out the man, out his passenger seat and his love life and all those different things. But so much came with it. I thought that they didn't do a good job supporting him this year.
Right.
You look at the receivers and everything. Right. But
I don't like Mike Bobo's play call.
And sometimes Mike can get – but I think it was more or less they were looking at him from a standpoint of, we got this guy. This guy is supposed to be Heisman and blank. And I think Georgia went away from their identity of what they've always been.
Came out shooting. Again, you don't throw as much against Alabama. Yeah. We already covered it. But
yes.
I agree.
But yeah, so that's why I do think that. But, I don't know nothing about Gunnar other than everybody loves him.
From Tiger, Georgia, up in Raven County, which is, again, going up towards South Kakalaka. One thing we learned today is, unlike that other dude in a Lamborghini, he's got a 40-year-old Ford F-150. Yeah. No AC, no power windows.
Yeah, because he got no NIL.
No power locks.
He's the backup quarterback. He got no NIL or nothing.
And you know how Georgia's going to win it?
How's that?
With a simple man at quarterback.
And
that's what Georgia needs, the right quarterback. He's a simple man, Randy, and you should know that because you drink Bush.
I'm a simple man, Mike. I'm as simple and I'm as low maintenance as they come.
Right on.
But yeah, I hope that's the case.
This is the narrative. But again, no disrespect to the Athens Banner.
No. I'm going to disrespect. Okay, I'm going to disrespect. All right. Okay. Yeah. No, I will disrespect that dumbass logic. Oh, he drives a pickup truck, Mike. He's one of us.
Randy, again, he's a guy who comes from humble beginnings. He had 70 touchdowns his senior year.
He was amazing.
And he's a guy. You know why you're going to win the national championship? You got a simple man at quarterback. Hit it, Orin. Yeah.
Okay.
He don't need no trappings and no NIL. Just a pinch between the cheek and gums and his F-150. He's ready to go to work. Yo, dog.
If things project how they always projected with Kirby,
right.
He'll be the starting quarterback next year, right? He's next in line.
Right.
So just jump started early.
What happens if Beck wants to come back?
I don't know. And that's the same thing when we were talking about other quarterbacks, Mike, last week. They were in the portal.
Right.
Like, damn, why did he go to the portal? Oh, because they pressed him out. You know, I'm surprised. And I was thought about this was the whole Jalen Miro thing down in Alabama. Did DeBoer be like, you sure you want to go back?
Yeah.
I don't think Carson comes back, but I don't understand why he would. But that's my only thing.
Well, the timing for him sucks because he can't get ready for the draft.
Exactly. Now, can I raise my hand and say that if Carson Beck want to come back, I'll take him back.
Right.
I'll take him back.
How much better would Carson Beck be with Todd Monken?
Oh, man.
Carl and I were talking about this. I said, and nothing against Mike because he's done some good. Sometimes Mike's gotten too much criticism over the years. But then sometimes I think it's valid. I just would love to have seen how Todd Monken would have taken that skill set of Carson Beck and that cannon for an arm and how he would have utilized him.
But you look who Todd Monken had to give the ball to. He had Brock Bowers, generational talent.
Right.
He had damn Ladd McConkey. He's doing.
Right.
Rosie's a good dude. They can run the football. Then like the offensive line was better with Todd Monken. This offensive line is as good as we thought it was going to be coming to the season.
Right.
And then you look and they run the ball like they used to. I know NTN, this is the biggest thing for him because he got some health and got some rest on those ribs. I think Nate Frazier's a superstar. But it's all about the playmakers around him. We let the nation in freaking drops, Mike.
Right.
the nation drops.
And by the way, it's not like Georgia. These guys weren't recruited. These were highly recruited receivers.
Yeah.
But they just haven't been able to deliver the goods. And then, of course, Ra-Ra Thomas gets kicked off the team. Kobe, you'll never get to see him because by the time that case gets adjudicated, the season is over.
Yeah.
So you just never had the guys you needed to step up to Randy's point. So regardless of who the OC is, I mean, some of these guys are literally doctors like Stonehands, Dr. Strangeglove out there for Georgia catching the ball. Hey, by the way, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the defense. Question is if it gets into a high-scoring game, which unfortunately I know Kirby doesn't want it, but it seems like every Georgia game Georgia game becomes a high-scoring game.
Right.
Can Notre Dame's quarterback keep up in that kind of a battle?
Well, I think the thing
that's providing Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah, but I think the thing with Ry Leonard is he's a hell of an athlete, Mike.
Right.
He uses his legs. He can throw the football. I think and they can run the football. And I thought that the 98-yard touchdown run last week against Indiana took him out. One guy missed the tackle. His running back, he sidesteps him 98 yards, takes all the wind out of Indiana. I don't think that happened in Georgia, but I do think that this Notre Dame team is really good. They're well coached. Like I said, play defense. Now, their biggest thing, they lost their best defensive player, their best defensive lineman. He's not going to play in this game. So, obviously, that's an advantage for Georgia. But how do you – because we're going to run the football. I mean, this is what it is. Like, we're going to sit there and try to pound the rock and not have to put it on Gunner. He came in the Texas game, and that juice and the energy just flowed.
And that was one of the – now, and aside from what he's driving around Athens, which was part of these things that came out, the Dog Nation article talks about the players. And that's one of the things they were talking to Marcus Freeman, the coach of Notre Dame, and he was saying they noticed the energy on the sideline when he goes in change.
Yeah, it does.
And nothing against Carson Beck. I'm not trying to make this like, ooh, Carson Beck's a bad guy. It's just they feed off of his energy,
yes.
And they only have 80 plays on tape from this guy, and most of it comes from the Orange Bowl and the blowout win,
mm-hmm.
Against Florida State.
Yeah, and I think, we had Roddy on, Mike, last week, and I was like, what? If you point, because obviously he had to come in at halftime, and there wasn't really a lot of time to get the game plan right. And who did you see as the quarterbacks as Kirby's been around?
Right.
Who do you see this game plan kind of resembling? He thought more like Stetson. Now, we had the juice when he first came in. Might go down, energy flowing, go score a touchdown.
Right.
And then it kind of went back like you know, he started looking like a backup quarterback a little bit. Now, he made some plays with his legs and everything like that. But this, you know, he's had 3 weeks of practice. Mike's had 3 weeks to formulate a game plan around him, which is going to revolve around him turning around and putting the ball in the running back's belly. Right. You know, but the biggest thing with college football, whenever you do want to run that zone read, if there's no read, then there's a read now.
Right.
You know, because
he
can pull it and go. And they try to do a lot of that with Carson later on in the season, Tennessee and everything, and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, you listen to Mike Hill was talking nice about Chance Chambers, all the defensive
they
players.
They love this guy.
They love him. They really, really do. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think we're a two-point favorite. Mm-hmm. That's because we got a backup quarterback.
Right.
We're a touchdown favorite over Notre Dame.
It was funny because I was just spent the week down in Florida in Big Ten country down in Naples, and everybody's asking me, well, you know, got old guys that want to gamble. And, like, what do you know about Gunnar Stockton? And I said, I don't know anything.
Nothing. We don't. None of us do.
I know he threw for 55 touchdowns. A senior in high school, ran for 15, which is pretty impressive at any level.
Yep.
But still, don't know. But the intangibles, man. It, like, the guys can feed off that, and they get the game plan. And Frazier doesn't fumble.
Yes.
Hold on to the ball.
And catch it. And ETN, lean
heavy on ETN now that he's had 3 weeks to heal up.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be somewhere, and I'm pretty sure they want ETN 20 plus carries, and they want Frazier somewhere around 10 plus carries and everything like that. Like. I can see the tight ends being used a little bit more in this game. And Lawson and also Oscar Delp and guys like that. I can see those, you know, those inside routes and inside seams and everything like that. Because, I mean, Gunner got a hose now. He can spin it with the best of them. But I think that, you know, just trying to get him, you know, acclimated and then get his confidence up.
Same question I just asked you about Beck. Wouldn't this be a guy you'd like to see Todd Monken using?
Well, I mean – Hell yeah, if he had Brock Bauer and Ladd McConkey those dudes,
same
too.
Same point. Hey, man, there's your dog report here on Dukes and Bell with Randy and for Carl. By the way, college hoops, one of the great stories last couple of years in Final Fours was the run that George Mason made with Jim Larrañaga.
Yes, yes.
Eventually he took the job down in Coral Gables.
Yes.
He says, I'm out.
I don't want to deal with these kids anymore.
I'm done. He's a simple man, too. But Larrañaga's out. Tony Bennett tapped out up at UVA.
Yeah.
It's crazy,
man. I should not have to negotiate with a kid.
Right.
No. Now they say they came out refusing. That's not the reason why he's stepping down. But why is it, man?
You know, he needs to do a deal right now. You got to get him a Ford deal. You got to get Gunner a Ford deal.
Oh, dude. I mean, how does Michael Penix not have a Costco deal yet? It's right there for you.
Right on. Yeah, but see that again. He's also a simple man.
I knew you were going to do that.
Michael Penix Jr.
But, I mean, if he does well, after my Gunner's going to have his choice.
You don't like dogs. You don't like Skinner. We can't be friends.
You know he listens to Skinner right now.
Right on.
You know he is.
Hey, man, we're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll come back. How do you get ready for Jaden Daniels? I mean, it involves a local high school player who made it to the pros and Falcons doing their part. We just talked about it. Stetson Bennett was supposed to be
Baker Mayfield
for the Rose Bowl. Worked out pretty well. We'll come back, guys, talk about the Falcons next. Coming up, guys, in about 20 minutes, it's Steve Coonan. The kids call him Puffy K. Hawks CEO. Talk to Randy Mack and moi as we're hanging out here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And the Hawks coming off one of the more exciting games and an amazing come-from-behind win with 50 points and no turnovers in the fourth quarter. So, Steve, good time to have Steve on because, you know, Steve loves when I bust his chops about stuff like the in-season tournament and everything else. So,
dude,
that'll be coming up.
Leave him alone.
Stop breaking my balls. Anyway, that'll be coming up with Steve Coonan at 4:40.
Leave him alone, man.
Hey.
Do you believe this? Because everybody's talking about, you know, baseball and people react. The double A doesn't do anything. Well, he's never done anything. Look at the lineup when the Braves are healthy.
Right.
Pretty much. Good. But somebody, Pete Alonso, obviously saying the Mets have offered him 3 years for 90.
Okay. That's not the long-term deal. His agent is.
I think he wants the big long-term deal.
I wouldn't pay him that kind of quarter of a billion-dollar kind of contract his agent wants.
Right.
I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I've never been a fan, but I know that you know this. Remember, he went through a long, long stretch before he finally gave you some production in the clutch, and that kind of coincided with the Mets taking off.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm not sold on him necessarily as being the guy worth that kind of coin.
Okay. I was just asking because I know how you are about you. Well, I know you're not a Mets fan anymore.
Those days are gone, Randy.
Ever since Tom Seaver, right?
Oh, that broke. What? I came home. I'm 9 years old. My mom and dad go, sit down. We got some bad news. I go, is it Nana? And my dad goes, it's worse. The Mets are traded Tom Seaver. cried my little eyes out. I'll never forget that. I remember calling my best friend, Danny Colon, Chris Garcia. We're like, they traded Tom Seaver. There was a lot of people getting Carvel ice cream that night to console their kids in our neighborhood. A lot of folks are upset. Anyway, but a couple of things on the Falcons. You had Coach on yesterday. Carl is off, and Randy Mack doing having some fun. We do love to do these holiday mashups. Thanks to Mike Conti, because I always love working with Randy.
Yeah, we had fun. This is one thing we talked about, because we haven't worked together in so many years. But the whole damn April Fools.
Yes.
Where you had everybody thinking that out of moves. Yeah.
Again, that was beyond our pay level. Yes. That was not our decision.
Yes. But I was like, baby.
People are getting hot.
What did Mike Bell tell these people that I was doing? Then somebody said, Mike said you moved back to the Philippines. Like, move back? I've never lived there. Where, first of all? Never lived there.
They had me and Sammy Golden and Squid Billy, and a guy hit us on the text line, goes, where's Randy Mack? I go, he is doing missionary work in the Philippines.
I was like, what the hell did Mike – what does Mike have y'all thinking?
He is now part of – it's the Randy Mack.
Oh, my God.
I know what I said. I said it was the Pac-Mac. It was Pacquiao and McMichael Foundation.
I was like, unbelievable that these folks were like, Randy, is it true what Mike's talking about? I don't know what Mike is talking about, but I can only imagine Mike is coming up with.
He is busy ministering in the Leyte Gulf.
Yeah, I'm like, I can only imagine what he is coming up with right now.
Oh, man. Hey, got some audio from Coach from you guys' conversation yesterday, starting off with, how do you try to prepare for a guy like Jaden Daniels, who is the ultimate weapon? Yeah, I know that he's a little bit skinny. If somebody can lay some lumber on him, maybe you can take him out. But he's been avoiding the big hits as he was taking a little bit earlier in the year. He's super athletic. We watched some of the games last week. The game against the Saints, where they even had to grind it out, Randy.
Yep.
He's showing the escapability. He has pinpoint accuracy. So, I mean, no disrespect to a local high school kid who played at Florida and then in the NFL. And then I think he played in the USFL. It was Emory Jones.
Right.
But here's Raheem talking about bringing in an athletic guy to try to, show you what Jaden Daniels looks like in practice.
Yeah, simulation of the guy we're about to play, right? Guy that can move around, guy that can scramble, guy that can run some of his own read stuff and the read option, all of those things, getting some guys that are fleet of foot to be able to chase down, do some of the things that, obviously they're very special players been doing. But it gives you a nice simulation of that on practice squad, and something we did not have. You know, Kurt would be the practice squad guy normally. We had Nathan Peterman, who's not as fleet as foot as the guy that we're going to play. So you get a guy that could do some of those things and simulate some of those movements in order to get you guys ready to compete.
Mike, I did not know Nathan Peterman was there.
Yes, he's still here.
Yes. I had no clue. When he said that yesterday, I was like, really?
Practice squad.
Yeah, but no, I think, it's just, you always want to try to get some kind of semblance for your defense of movement. And it's not necessarily a lot of times, Mike, just the play call. It's the extending of plays. Like, the play might be over, but Rob might just say, hey, keep going or something like that, trying to get you the right fits. Bailey, especially in the back end, getting you the plaster and everything once he's like move around in the pocket and things like that. I mentioned it earlier. Like, we would have to bring in a DB or something when we would play the Falcons and try to simulate something for Mike Vick or something like that.
Right.
You can't throw a light Mike or anything like that, but just the movement and everything like that. So, yeah. You do, especially now because the practice squad, so many people, and you can pull them and let them go and all those different things. So it allows you to bring in a guy for just a week or just 3 days to run a scout.
And we referenced it earlier, obviously, the comparison with Stetson Bennett. And he did the Baker Mayfield simulation, and that worked out pretty well for the Dogs in the Rose Bowl that year. Got some injury information. Looks like Drake London's going to go. I know Coach told you guys yesterday, it sounds like he was limited today, according to Mark Ramondi from ESPN. But, today is, Friday. So this is the day, Randy. Should we read anything into him being limited today for Drake London?
No, he'll be all right.
He'll be all right?
Yeah, he'll be all right. He'll be all right.
Like, Sunday night, extra few hours of treatment?
Yeah. So, obviously, today was perfect practice, perfect Friday and everything. You go out tomorrow, you travel up to D.C., and you get ready for tomorrow night's game. Obviously, he's going to get treatment on it while he's up there on the plane, trying to make sure that whatever it is, it's not something that's going to linger. But, no, he got to play.
Right.
His ass got to play on Sunday night. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember they made the trade for Marshawn Lattimore? He's out again. Marshawn Lattimore is officially out with a hamstring.
Yeah, because he was tussling all weekend with AJ. And, he's a crabby ass little dude, man.
He is.
He's a hell of a player. But that's why when he went out the game, I'm not saying because I thought AJ got the better of the matchup anyways, but it was a lot more easier to go to AJ after he had him down.
Let's see. Marshawn Lattimore, I mentioned. Jordan McGee. The linebacker, Tyler Owens, the safety, is out. Tackle, Andrew Wiley, is out with a groin. So he's listed as out for the game. Jonathan Allen is questionable with a pec. Everybody else is good to go. Dante Fowler has been dealing with a groin injury. Zach Ertz, a shoulder. And a Mariota, the backup.
Yeah, everybody's banged up
this time of year.
It's this time of year. So everybody's pretty much banged up. But their whole team revolves around five.
Right.
The whole team. The whole team, offense, defense, special team, revolves around that young kid right there. Rightfully so, the dude's a stud.
I know that Caleb Williams is surrounded by a lot of bad coaching and a lot of bad management in Chicago, but I just felt, and just because I got to see him play twice against Florida State, once in New Orleans and once in Orlando, I just thought Jaden Daniels was going to be a stud in the NFL. If he could just maybe put on a little bit more size.
He ain't going to be no big dude.
But that's his frame. But I just thought he was so accurate, and the ball just comes out and you see it. So, look, guys, we got to win this game. The only other scenario is the Bucks, who have a bunch of injuries right now on both sides of the ball, would lose to Carolina at home, which seems like a tall order.
Yeah, it does. As good as they played and as good as Bryce Young has looked ever since the benching when they sent him down for Andy Dalton for a couple of weeks, he's been playing really, really good. His confidence has been there. They're able to run the football. We know what Chuba Hubbard does, as far as how he ended that game last weekend against the Arizona Cardinals. But, yeah, I mean, the Baker's a gamer, man. And the thing with it is that, if they don't get that fumble, the Cowboys, you know Baker's going to win that football game.
Yeah.
Baker's going to win the game. It's just one of those things where it's what Baker does. He's a gamer, and so he's going to win that football game. But the Falcons are in a position where, I know we talked to B-Mac earlier, I think Washington is good. But I think they're good like the Falcons. Like, you can beat this team if you play well.
Right.
Like, they're not great.
And I'm not trying to be
sour
grapes from the years that went bad with Dan Quinn. But we know if it's a pressure situation with clock management or strategy, he gets tight.
A little bit.
We've seen it. Hey, by the way, 4 o'clock right here on 92.9 The Game with Wes Drew Ham and Dave Archer. So what that means, pregame starts around noon. If I wait for a tailgate.
Hold on, Mike. You got everything confused. It's an 8 o'clock game, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Four
o'clock pregame.
You had me damn confused.
It's Thursday night. No, it's Sunday night football. I was on vacation.
Yeah.
Sunday night football got flexed by NBC.
Yes, so it should probably wait for it to be at 4.
Right.
Wes and Dave, pregame, kick it.
And by the way, guys,
kick it 8:20.
If Chris Collinsworth makes your ears bleed, you just pause the TV for a minute and you sync it up with our radio station. You get Arch, you get his analysis, as opposed to Chris Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth loves me, so.
I love Randy McMichael.
And that's how he would be, too. Like, that guy really likes Randy. Yeah.
You know what I really want to punch the TV? Is when Collinsworth's kid is on. When Collinsworth's kid is on the pregame, I'm like, how did you get on a national television game?
I love Chris Collinsworth.
Hey,
but
my dad's coming up at 8.
But he's Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that throw.
Hey, man, how much pressure on Penix, though? In this situation, they're really bad against the run, so we should be able to run.
Yeah.
But then conversely, Washington's one of the top five passing defenses.
Yeah, but I think, a lot of times when you look at the deficiencies between one aspect of the defense and the other, it's like, well, what does the team do more than likely?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to throw on them if you can run the hell out of the ball on them, So a lot of times those type of stats can be skewed a little bit because of that one thing about it. But yeah, there's pressure on them. There's pressure because this is a must win game. Like this isn't a must win for Washington.
It's always a
must win for the Falcons.
It's always so oversimplified. Well, they're going to put 8 in the box. Well, can Penix beat that with that quick delivery? Hell yeah, he can.
We're going to see. Because as good as I think he played last week, he's got to play better. He's going to play better. He's got to elevate his game. And now he's going to a place, Mike's played in some big games, and all those different things. But he ain't played no big NFL game, Mike.
You know
what I mean? I know he played in the national championship and beat Texas in the semis and all that thing. That's so great. He ain't played in the NFL Sunday night football game with this on the line. Obviously, played in the national championship game, big deal. I'm not trying to take nothing away from that. But this is the NFL.
It's
a lot different. And this is a must-win game. Going into, a very confident team.
Right.
In a very confident atmosphere because of what happened last weekend against Philly.
And in case you're wondering, guys, I know we're a long way away. First things first, let's just, get into the playoffs. Let's win this division. It is kind of interesting when you look at the battle between Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
who are looking up at Minnesota, but Minnesota and Detroit. And the idea, right now, if the playoffs started today and Detroit still gets to play Minnesota in the final game of the season, right now we'd be playing the Vikings.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
I don't know if I want that again. I don't know if I want that again.
It was 21-21.
Yeah.
It was 21-21.
And that's one of the times I lost I lost a little bit of respect for Kirk when he comes in and goes, last time I was on the field, it was 21 up.
It was.
Yeah. But, I mean, now you're throwing Ray under the bus. You're throwing your defense under the bus.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I noticed with Kirk when it was – and we love this guy, but I did notice some cracks in the facade because when we were losing, it was we. And when it was winning, it was I.
Yeah.
You know?
What's he saying to me right here? Somebody is a raccoon, a cat, or a rodent? It's a damn rodent.
The great debate, would you eat raccoon, continues.
It's a damn rodent.
Hey, man, you hungry enough?
Yeah, it's a damn rodent.
Tastes
that's what it is.
Like chicken. We've had some guys in the back. Who, you know what? We will get some gourmet raccoon cooked up for you one day.
No, I'm good. Because I'm telling you, I'm going to fight every damn body if y'all skim me some food
right.
And you don't tell me what it is.
I know we got to catch a break. Stevie Coon is coming up. You haven't eaten some crazy stuff like wombat in the Philippines?
Why?
I don't know. You don't know.
Why?
Somebody serves it up on a like a gumbo? You don't know what you're
there's
eating.
No way in hell.
Hey, man, we'll come back. Would you eat a marsupial? We'll come back and talk to Steve Coonan about the Red Hot Hawks and their big win next. We are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. It is Dukes and Bell with Randy McMichael, a very special edition of Mashup from Andy Rende on today for Carl. And we're joined, as we are every Friday, by everybody's favorite CEO. What a perfect time to have Steve Coonan on, coming off one of the most electrifying Hawks wins in recent memory. There have been so many seemingly this year, Steve, but this was special. 50 points in the fourth quarter, all sorts of franchise records being set in the second half. What a night.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. You know, I did something last night I've never done before. I came back home and watched the replay of the game till about 1:25 in the morning.
No, I was watching the highlights this morning on the plane. Then when I got home, I watched it on the DVR. Just and no, I can't lie. I just fast forwarded to the fourth quarter, but that's when all the good stuff happened.
Actually, 6 minutes and 20 seconds, if you want to be precise.
Yeah, like, yeah, not the whole fourth quarter, Steve. So
yeah, that was. I mean, that was just incredible, and huge credit to Quinn Snyder, you know, for keeping the guys together, and then you know. That's when our length and our defense really took over because we literally shut them down. 23-2 run. That doesn't happen too often in the NBA.
It doesn't. And when you talk about a 50-point quarter, I mean, obviously, y'all scoring them 50-25 in the quarter, Steve, it's been amazing. But I know that this is my first time talking to you in so many, 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 many years, my good friend. But what is this team's identity right now, in your opinion, Steve?
Oh, I think this team's identity has become something that I can't believe I'm saying is defense.
Okay.
You know, we held, and I'm not going to be precise, but I think we held Minnesota to like 105 points Monday. We, you know, last night was the first kind of crazy score night that we've had. I mean, they had a guy who was averaging a point a game go for 19 in the first quarter.
Who is this guy?
You know,
I know we talked about it. Who is this guy Carter going off tonight?
He actually, when we played Milwaukee in the finals, he Carter killed us in game two. But he just went off, and it was like, but I think our identity is defense. I think our identity is never quit. I think our identity is really ball movement, which right. We used to play a lot of isolation, and this year we're really, really moving the ball, and it's paying pretty good dividends.
It is Steve Coonan, guys. It's Hawks CEO with us here, and again, big game with Miami coming to town on Saturday afternoon. Another one, so hopefully this team gets on that run, and I just can't wait to see what you guys are going to do. I know you get mad at me when I fast forward to the trade deadline, but I'd love to see a little more size and there's some things we could add to this team. But the biggest thing that Randy and I were talking about earlier is, knock wood, staying healthy. You know, and other side from Bogey, for the most part, the core has been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, Okongwu also, you know, has had a little bit of injuries. But what's interesting to me is that everybody wants us to make a deal. Who doesn't? Deals are fun.
I do.
And then who do you want to trade?
Well, I mean, you could argue, just not to say like we're capologists, but the idea that Capella, because of the expiring contract, could be something that might be attractive to a team. Again, it kind of makes sense. You can't do not just, you know, cut your nose off to spite your face, but get somebody who brings a little bit more athleticism maybe in the front court. Not a knock on Clint, but just saying how we could improve.
Right, but then all of a sudden you just traded away your starting center. So I get very excited about trades, and then I realize what we're giving up, and it's like, I don't want to share. You know, so that's why Landry Fields and the professionals do this kind of stuff. And it should be a very interesting winter. Let's just go with that.
All right.
How about this? And we're and obviously we know you, TV man, know all the ins and outs of the networks and the ratings and all those different things. Your thought process of not because he is the he is still the top dog in the NBA.
Right. He's the face of the NBA.
He's still a face saying that this is our day, NFL, even though it kind of ain't no more, Steve.
Well, you know, it's funny. The NFL, it doesn't seem there's a place they won't go except for Tuesday. So I'm kind of hoping right. Christmas becomes a legal Tuesday holiday.
Give it time.
Not
Give it
sure
time.
We can pull that one off. Yeah, right. Exactly. I never thought. In fact, it was funny. Last year, I looked at the calendar and go, well, at least we're not going to have competition this year. It's on a Wednesday. And
right.
Damn, 3 games in 11 days. You know, that's pretty tough on your athletes. But,
yes,
so much for player safety.
They did it, and credit to them. And guess what? I watched everyone, and so did you, and so did everybody listening.
Right.
Right. No, I just said, we talked about it earlier, Steve, and I said everything in life has got to be a zero-sum game when it comes to opinion makers. The NBA's had their best numbers in 5 years, but the NFL is just, with all due respect, it's just at a different level.
Well, look, I have not been shy about saying that I think the NBA season should start at Christmas. I might have to amend that to the NBA season should start near Christmas. But it's the NFL is just incredible competition. I was thrilled that Steph and LeBron played such a great game. And,
yes.
You know, one of the things that we have to do as a league is replace those guys, you know. And I'm old enough to have lived through Larry and Magic retiring and lived through the Michael Jordan piece. But these guys, I mean, they truly move the needle and make a difference. And I was thrilled that the ratings were up for every game, but,
right.
You know, there's nothing wrong. I am fine being second in television ratings to the NFL. I am happy about that, copacetic with it, couldn't be happier with our new TV deal and the leadership of Adam Silver. So not everybody, you know, and I don't think fans care about ratings. I think fans care about stars and competition.
And that's one thing, Steve, I'm always curious about is when you try to find that next face. And how does the NBA go about that? Is it something that just supposed to happen organic, or is it do maybe we need to have this guy on the dish slot? How do you figure out that? Because I remember being a kid when Mike left, and right. Then all of a sudden you're like, world, where, then there's Kobe and Shaq, and then there's LeBron and Steph now. How do you get – because everybody thinks it's Wimby, but how do you figure out who that new guy is, and how do you promote him to that?
Yeah, you know, it's really hard today. In the old days, and I helped do it, I mean, we had right. Grant Hill, who we made a huge star. He was the star of Sprite commercials. Kobe was the star of Sprite commercials. Michael Jordan was obviously Nike, and I want to be like Mike and Gatorade. And then right. You also had broadcast television partners. So during the heyday of Friends and Seinfeld, you're seeing promos with these guys for NBA games. And now media is so fractured. And there's, I don't really know how do you necessarily make a star. You know, historically, big men haven't sold. Shaq was not a great sales endorser until Shaq became a retiree. And now he will sell anything. And does an incredible job of it. Though,
yes, he will.
He was with Reebok, they dropped him. He was with Pepsi, they dropped him. He, you know, we didn't even go after him at Coke because historically big men. So I think Wimby's an incredible talent and enjoyable to view, but I don't think he's going to become, you know, that kind of marketing icon that Steph and LeBron have become.
The thing is, it's funny, Randy brought up a great point because, you know, after Michael, they were trying to force, so it's going to be Larry Johnson. Remember right. that? And it's going to Grandmama and all the different guys.
Grandmama,
and
Allen Iverson.
There was different guys. It just kind of happens. I think Ant-Man, I think SGA, even though small market, the market size doesn't really matter because Durant was in Oklahoma City. But Jalen Johnson is a guy that can be that next all-star, can be part of this next generation.
Oh, I agree. Jalen is having a tremendous season, and so is Trey. And we're pushing hard for those two right. to be all-stars. Everybody, please, please vote, and especially
yes.
for those okay. two guys. They really deserve, you know, the notice. And this year, I think the experts underestimated us, and we're not on national TV as much as we should be, and they're not getting the visibility that they need. So I'd love Atlanta to help that happen. But the question of how do you make a star, you know, I think some of the biggest stars in the NFL are retired players still.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really, really, really hard. And I'm not talking about a star. I'm talking about a superstar.
Yeah, right. Right. Kind of transcends. Hey, Steve, before we cut you loose, Steve Koonin is a Georgia alum and a proud Georgia booster.
Believe it.
And you're going to be in New Orleans, by the way?
I am not. I am not. We have a wedding that my wonderful wife has RSVP'd yes to, and I'm looking forward to it.
Shame.
As much as you would be.
She knows this is your slot on Friday.
Shame. You know what, man? Yeah. You don't get married. You don't stay married for 40 years if everything goes your way. So.
Wow. All right. No, but what do you think, though? Notre Dame, good defense. The X factor is Gunnar Stockton, and all these stories about the young man who espouses the NIL for an old beat-up Ford pickup truck have made the rounds today. But he's got 3 weeks to get it cooking. Do you trust Kirby to have Gunnar in place to make some things happen?
I trust Kirby with anything and everything. I think that our defense, I'm hoping that we don't have to score a lot to win. In both Texas games, we didn't score a whole lot, especially the second one, the overtime game here in Atlanta to win the SEC championship again. Let us not forget we're SEC champions. You know, the Stockton thing, the whole Jake Fromm filling in at Notre Dame, and we won that game on a field goal 20-19, right. That just kind of sticks in my head, you know, that maybe there's just something there. And I've seen Notre Dame. I saw Southern Cal bully them and push them around. So I'm sure it'll be a really good game. But I'm pretty confident that if anybody can find a way to win that, Kirby can. And look, we're going to play to Gunner's strengths. We're not going to have – he's not Jake Fromm, and he's certainly not, Brock. But I think that things will go our way. And I do think that – we'll be back in Atlanta where Georgia belongs.
All right. So, Steve, we'll have the earpiece in for the wedding, and you enjoy your New
Year's. Like all of us.
Right. Enjoy New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and we will talk to you hopefully about a Georgia win. And the Hawks, man, like I said, that was making national news. That was such a big, big win against the Bulls, man. Have a great New Year, Steve.
Please, folks, join us for Miami tomorrow. There are a few standing room only tickets available, it's a great time to bring kids. 3
Appreciate
o'clock.
You so much, Steve.
3 p.m.
Excellent. Right here on 92.9 The Game. That's our man, Steve.
And happy New Year, Randy. And happy New Year, Mike. It's great being on the air with you.
We love you, brother. Always, man.
Another year goes by. It's like 10 years of Steve on the air with us, man, having fun and always moving the meter, man. It's a Randy Mack, everybody's favorite tight end. Brock who? It's Randy with us today.
Well, you keep saying it. He's my favorite tight end.
Oh, yeah.
He's my favorite tight end.
Now you sound like Eric Dickerson. Anyway, we'll come back.
He's my favorite tight end. Records are meant to be broken, Mike.
Yes.
He shattered mine.
All right. We're live at Twin Peaks here in Kennesaw, guys. I know. A lot of folks are hanging out here having a good time. We got Tinker. We got Kyle Pitts. Guys, this is not Kyle Pitts. This is Chris. But he does look a lot like Kyle Pitts. So if you want to take a picture with him and say, why is Kyle Pitts wearing a Postal Service outfit? But, confuse your friends for the new year. We'll come back. Randy, Falcon Report. A lot of pressure on Michael Penix Jr. in a must-win game in prime time.
Prime time.
Coming up next.